like a psychedelic as mushrooms, though, is it?
They're all different, aren't they? I wouldn't have the the know-how or the intelligence to sum that up into a useful point.
Well, I've been microdosing the shit out of that stuff, mate. It's great.
What?
Yeah,
Phoenix ashes?
No, the psilocybin.
Yeah, Albanians. That's different.
Albino, sorry to call, but it's in like a chocolate form.
We're here, aren't we? We're on. Show number two with Mr. Co-host, Mr. Ben Fanning. We're back in. I want to do something real serious now because I'm a serious individual. That brings me to my next point. Kids, don't smoke crack. What's that off? That's off a film, I'm sure. Was it?
Probably New Jack City or something.
The water boy when he comes in. They say, we got the quarterback. Oh, yeah. The water boy's come in and he's gonna share with us. How do you always find yourself in the right place? Well, what I do is the quarterback say hack. And when the quarterback says hack, he passes it to the man. And then I try and tackle him. And then if he passes it to somebody else, then I try to tackle him too.
That like, boy is a devil.
He said, what did he say? Thank you very much. And that brings me to my next subject, kids. Don't smoke crack.
Mate, was that your like attempt to Mike Tyson there? Or?
No, it was Waterboy.
Waterboy. Oh,
yeah. I got loads of impressions. I can't bring them out on demand, though. When I was younger, my brother used to say, give your impression of like the Jeters. I can't bring them out on demand. Yeah. Pressure's too much.
You just tried doing that to me in the last episode.
Do it again, just one more time, and Mike. The mic.
You think it's not going to come out right? It's not going to come out right.
I've been watching, but I've caught the Married at First Sight stuff. That's addictive shit. You're like, what is this crap? I'm sat there like, what's this crap on TV? We ain't watching this. It's rubbish. Go out, make a cup of tea. 5 minutes later.
Sucked in.
Yeah, so what's going on then? Are they still together?
Yeah.
I thought you didn't care. Yeah, I don't care, but it's just like, I can't
you only
stop.
Want to know about
I can't
the beginning,
stop watching
the end.
This stuff. They're all like mini armchair psychologists now. Have you seen it?
Oh, man, that's the worst bit. They come in like, the reason why this didn't happen.
Well, I think the thing is, he's deflecting. And what he's doing is he's projecting on me. I'm not projecting. The thing is, you're like, oh, my God.
Here we go.
Yeah. You know what? That's a legitimate thing that happens now, I think. Therapy talk, therapy speech. I read about this. It's how therapy speech has infiltrated our modern day language. So we're all like very popular psychology almost. We all got a little snippet of like psychology principles. So now we're looking at the world through that lens, like viewing everybody through these kind of archetypes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And everyone's a narcissist now. Everyone you meet, they're narcissist, which is like, element, well, everyone has an element of narcissism in them, but
100%.
But it's like flipping out, like,
isn't it crazy how, like, if you say one thing, that's it, you're labeled as that thing, you know what I mean? You go against some of your anti or your pro, like there isn't.
You never spoke like that when you was 18, though, did you?
Hell no,
you wouldn't, like,
you wouldn't have been able to understand my language at 18 years old.
I can't understand
our
it
shit
now.
Was that slang.
I can't understand it now. What I mean is, when I was 18, I don't think I was like, you're in a relationship or something, and it was awful. You weren't like, I think they're like gaslighting me or doing this or doing that. You didn't.
I know, some hidden agenda.
You weren't kind of aware of it, were you? You were like, they're just useless.
Yeah.
Or I'm just useless. You know, we just ain't right.
Yeah, you just made a mistake.
Now it's like psychological warfare.
I know.
I think people spend too much time in their heads.
Fuck, ain't that the truth?
And by the way, in my new upcoming book, I actually have that in here.
No, it's right, you know.
It's true, though. I think people spend
too much time. Well, I remember, you know, the loudest part of the day for a long time for me was when I was on my own.
Yeah.
You know? That chitter chatter.
I think, I don't think, but I remember saying that. But also, I think we analyze our thinking a lot more than we used to.
That's a great point.
You know what I mean, it's like analyze every little thought that floats through you, through our mind.
Well, it's this whole negative, positive bullshit, right? We have to be more positive because we're speaking more negative. As we know, that ain't the case. You know, like, just labeling things like that is ignorant. You know, there's more context to it. And it's more complex than that, isn't it?
Mm.
Do you know, like, is there a benefit from negative talk? Damn right there is.
I think the worst I felt with my own thinking, I don't know if you get it, like, was when I got heavily into the work by Byron Katie. And that's not a slight on that model, because it's very useful in certain circumstances.
Mm.
But I think every day waking up and just working on my thoughts, just I was obsessed with them.
Yeah.
I was like, weighing everything up and flipping it round, like, constantly. And I'm an obsessive person.
Me too.
Like, if I get on something, I'm on something. So that was my thing. And I, after a while, you're like, this is so, like, exhausting. Weighing up. Is that true? Is it not true? What evidence have I got that isn't true? I think, Nanny, if you go through, like, a big event and or something, say we had a massive fallout now and I was annoyed with you, I might, you know, it might be beneficial for me to go home and go, like, maybe I'll work through what I'm thinking about that. But every day, just to do it, was exhausting for me. And I think that's, you see it a lot, don't you? Like, in our groups and that, a lot at the minute, one of the things we're always trying to get across to people is, like, well, certainly admit, like, hey, stop. You know, people, we're trying to not, we're trying to encourage people or give them a skill, certainly, to not be so absorbed with their thinking, to weighing up every little part of their day or what they thought or what they said, to get them out of their head a little bit and into life a bit more. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's something we see all the time, isn't it? It's like absorbed in our thinking.
Yeah, and definitely micromanaging every part of it, every aspect of it, which then leads into deeper, you know, other things that you analyze, all that stuff. But that was the other thing. I spoke to one of our members the other week who was like, sometimes you ain't going to get the answer straight away. Stop thinking that this way of thinking is that you've got to have the answer.
Yeah.
Every time, you know, especially with the journaling, you know, like, people just want that black and white. If I ask a question, I must immediately have the answer. And that ain't always going to be the case.
We've all sometimes been that person as well, don't we? Because we want one and done. I love that saying, one and done. It's I want to do some stuff and then I want to be done. As in, I want my thinking to be brilliant and I want to feel great. And so I think we start off and we do things. I remember this. You start doing things, you start feeling good. And then you go through a patch where you don't feel so good and you're like, what am I doing wrong? This ain't working. Something's going wrong. Like, what am I doing? And like, weighing up every single day. Was it a good day? Was it a bad day? Was it this? Was it that? You get obsessed with it. Well, I did anyway. And I think it's like trying to get out of that. It's like, hey, you will have up and, like, it's, the analogy I like is, if, like, if you're trying to shift some body weight, like, so some days you lose weight. Some days you gain weight. But ultimately, as long as it's trending in the right direction, win-win, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, but it's going to go up and down on that path. Excuse me. And I think it's the same, like, complex, like, trying to improve how you think or working towards a goal. Some days you're making loads of progress. Sometimes it slows down, it speeds up, then you don't make any, then you go back. That is, like, the dance. You know what I mean? And it's trying to help people understand, like, you're not failing because today wasn't great or because you're not doing something wrong because you didn't have an amazing day where you just felt a bit off. And also, sometimes you must get this as well, where you're like, people are like, I'm flying along and I'm struggling all of a sudden. Oh, but then you realize something, life's happened. Is that why you've had some bad things happen at your job, or, you know, one of your kids has been poorly, or like something's come in and knocked you? That's natural. You are going to feel a bit stressed, a bit overwhelmed, or a bit like, that's not you, that's life in you a little bit. And you're having a bit of a turbulent response to that. That's not a reflection of you. Like, I think, I keep talking. It's like, I think most people just need to give themselves a break.
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to move forward and you're doing the right things. Like, give yourself a break. You know, just take the pressure off. Do you know what I mean? You answer these questions all the time because you do a Q&A every week all in our group. So you're fielding questions like that. And, you know, I think a lot of the time I look and it's like, you're like, giving them permission to celebrate themselves, giving them permission to struggle, sometimes giving them the firm hand. You know what I mean? But you're fielding those questions a lot, aren't you?
And it's a common denominator, you know, that people feel, when people start feeling better, things start going great. When they go back to old patterns of feeling or thinking, they feel like they're back to square one. So it creates this false belief that all that progress has been, you know,
you've lost it.
Yeah, you've lost the progress. But, you know, for us as coaches, it's reminding them, because that pattern of thinking is well ingrained in all of us, you know. Obviously, you burn your finger, you know, that shit's hot, you know, stay away from the heat. So I think, you know, with the way you teach, like, to feel fuller, and actually that is part of progress and part of the whole experience. So not to get, this is where the whole binary thing of, oh, negative and positive comes from, innit?
Yeah.
Well, you're having a negative day, I'm having a bad day. Well, shit, if you're going to keep saying that, you're going to have a bad day. But I'm sure there was something in that day that wasn't as bad as what you're making it out to be. So it's this constant battle. That's why reminders, especially with what we do, are so important, because it's like, again, it sits in the realm of victim mentality, entitlement. I'm feeling good now, I should never feel shit.
Well, you're going through a situation at the minute with your mum.
Massively.
Yeah, your mum's ill.
Yeah, terminal.
Terminal, yeah, and that's up and down, isn't it? Because
I
can see it sometimes when we speak. You know, isn't like, yeah, this, sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down.
Yeah.
You know, you can see it in way when we have our conversations, and it's riding that, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, this is the Byron Kid. I never really...
You never got
fully, it. Never really got it.
Because I was doing
some shit. I'm like, where's a positive in this? I'm struggling.
I remember a lady getting you up on in front of some people to do Byron Kid with you. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and it didn't really pan out.
It didn't really pan out because you're like, no, that's not how it was.
That's not how it was.
Yeah. And I just remember, you know, no, that's not how it was. I remember thinking, you ain't going to change his mind on this one.
No, maybe the word positive. Maybe you can see where we can grow. We've had an horrific incident with my mum and parts of her family recently. And, you know, naturally my brother's got sucked into the shit that had happened, the betrayal. And although I could, you know, I can understand why they felt that way, I reverted back to like, how could we prevent this? Or how do we grow from this? You know, how do we make sure this doesn't happen again?
That's testament to the work you do, though, because let's be honest, sometimes when we're not doing the work, because we don't know what the work is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I don't know what the work is, you know, like the work, you know, what is the work? I don't mean Byron Katie work. I mean, like, when you're not looking after yourself or used to trying to think differently. You know, it's hard to look at life like that, isn't it?
Oh.
Being like, well, someone's betrayed me. What can we do now?
I mean, it's harder for me because in my betrayal, that disrespect, I want to address it.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, it's difficult because of people involved with women.
You know, what would you benefit? Well, how would you benefit? How would your mum benefit?
Well, she doesn't, right? And I always looked at it through it. I mean, my mantra going through the situation with my mum has been, don't make this about you. Don't, you know, I'm in these tough situations. And it's actually some bit of advice about the wound and the scar that we got taught. That when this actually happened, we had the retreat. I've walked up to that tree holding this baggage on my back. And I knew I couldn't respond at that time. Because I just wanted to address the points, the valid points, you know, the truth don't need defending. And these are all that made it personal because that's a trait of a coward to make it personal because they're defending, you know, the insecurity in them. So they've got to make it about you. So it, you know, it blindsides the issue that they've created.
Do you think in this story, in any of these situations, this is what we're talking about, from when you can try and stop becoming absorbed in your own thoughts, what we were talking about earlier, get out your head a bit. I think you can think a bit more globally. So it's like, what do I want out of this now? What do I want for me? What do I want for my mum? What do I want for everybody involved? I think we forget what we want when shit hits the fan.
Yeah.
We forget what we want and we just go into those reflexive reactions. So in the episode we recorded a while back, you said, you know, about how you learned to solve issues. Basically through violence, if you think about it.
Or aggression.
And that's where your default's going to go, isn't it?
Of course.
So I solved this.
Yeah.
But is that solving it?
No.
In a healthy way?
And I think knowing
that's the difference. It's like, I think, sorry to interrupt you, but when I remember talking to you, it's like, I don't want to lose that element of me. Remember, I mean, you said, I don't want to lose that side. I was like, you don't have to lose it, Ben. You just need to be who you are.
Yeah.
Stop trying to be somebody else. Just be you. You've got an aggressiveness about you, but aggression isn't bad when applied in the right way.
Yeah, sacred rage.
As you call it,
But
it is like, that's the difference, isn't it? When rather than reflexively reacting, like this, I'll solve this problem, this is how I've always solved this problem, stepping away and going, what's best? That's true power. What's the saying? Don't have it's better to be a warrior in a garden.
Yeah.
Than a gardener in a war.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. And so it's having the capacity. Peterson talks about it, doesn't he? Having the capacity to do bad.
Yeah.
And not doing it.
Yeah.
Is like how you can become a good person, if that makes sense. If you can't be bad, then how can you be good, if that makes sense? Do you know what I mean? Is that what do you find you have to dance through that when you're under this stress with your mum and a terminal illness and all these other factors? Do you find that you're dancing between falling back into solving things in the old way?
Yeah, and this is where I know I've, you know, been able to use this as a, you know, way to measure how far I've grown. you know, because it is easy, you know, when you've got people you love and there's that much emotional attachment, it's so easy to get dragged in and be the tugboat, you know, and start putting out fires and taking one else over his problems. But, you know, really, you know, as crazy as it sounds, I've learned more about myself probably in the last 6 months than I've, in the last 6 years. And, you know, being able to, sometimes I think the confidence in knowing your ability has a big part to play in this. Like I know I could have switched this on and probably belittled everybody, you know, made everyone feel uncomfortable, addressed this in a way that it was probably valid, but wouldn't have got the result, you know? And this is why I needed time. And it was perfect timing that we had the retreat. I come there, I was able to drop it, which usually I'd be able to, you know, hold on to that and really obsess over it. But being around the right people, community, you know, it was easy for me to just drop the bag and be immersed in what we do, where I operate at my best. And then when I come back to it, I seen things a lot clearer.
Yeah,
and
I knew, space.
You know, it was even a part of it where I made personal, because no one wanted to get on the phone. I wanted, you know, I had to have contacts, I wanted a family meeting. I wanted to people to feel me energy. I was going to, you know, address where the betrayal was made. And at the same time, I wasn't even holding it against them that for the mistake they made, they were going to be, you know, bastardized for that. So being able to see their mistakes and why they did it gave me a bit of empathy of going,
Putting yourself in their shoes.
Yeah, I mean, these people not been about 15 years, all of a sudden they come in, you know, they want to care. I get it. You're my mum's family. I ain't going to stand in the way of that. I'm going to be a little bit cautious, but I ain't going to roll back because this is the relationship between family. Like, I have no business in getting involved in that. Again, that'll be a place of entitlement, right? Trying to get the outcome that I want. I just said, you know, we need the support as much as we can get. I know this is going to be a heavy task. And we need to be able to, you know, outsource as much of this to family members that know what we're going through. And I thought, you know, we did the right thing. And that's where I wasn't so hard on myself and explained to my brothers, look, we don't have to feel guilty or any shame for being betrayed because our intent was right. We had no reason to question that.
Mm.
We laid things out thick at the beginning. Everyone knew the plan. We had alternative routes because there was no routes for my mum. We was exploring these avenues. These are my mum's wishes. I'd already give the options to my mum how she wants to go about this chapter. She come to me and said, this is what I want to do. My mum asked us, you know, if my mum says to us, this is the way we're going to fight, then this is the way we're going to fight. Mm. So
communication is a big deal.
Massively.
I think one of the things people we struggle with, I've struggled with communication. I still can. And I think that, again, doing a lot of work with people, you realise a lot of the questions you get asked on a Thursday and stuff is around dealing with other people.
Yeah.
And it's communication issue very often, isn't it? Like struggling to communicate what we want, how we feel, what, you know, and how we feel about certain things and topics. Yeah, yeah. It's like communicating ourselves. But I think that's because we struggle to know ourselves a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you not think a lot of the issues we have with other people?
Oh, massively.
The reason you've been able to navigate that is because kind of you know who you are, you're pretty straight in your values now. And you're like, I know who I am, I know what I'm about, I know what my mum wants. I'm clear, clarity, like almost.
And you know yourself, when there's a clash of values, that's where there's going to be conflicts.
Huge.
So I actually understood why they went about the things the way they did, right? I'm not holding it against them because at the same time, they've still been a massive help. They've still gave a lot to my mum and it was great to see. And ain't going to just that one thing going to, you know, label them as a bad person because everything else that they've done from a place of love. You know, I'm always going to appreciate that.
It flips back to stuff, though. When shit hits the fan, it's very difficult to not default to old patterns.
Yeah.
Like you said, you're like, oh, I solved this through the way I know. But then you were able to step away and not solve it like that. And again, you see this all the time, and we've all been there. It's like people come into our world, they do all right, they're handed their first problem. Maybe the kids are ill, work gets busy, they miss a few things.
Mm.
And at that point, there's a choice. And the choice is like, well, hang on, pick myself up. And why am I here? What am I trying to achieve? Let's go. Or it's like, I'll react like I react with most things, which is I'll run away. You know, we generally fight, flight or freeze, don't we? You're like, I'm going to fight this.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, I'm off. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm off, I'm out, I'm not doing it anymore. I've fallen off my diet. Fuck it, I'll start next week, run away. I think the more we run away, we all do it, but you can only run away for so long until you're like, I'm not getting anywhere. Just keep repeating that loop. And that's what I think, again, I was thinking about this a lot. I mean, I think we both think, but I wrote about this and somebody dropped me a message because it's quite interesting. And I was like, look, I just don't believe I don't believe that nothing can make you feel anything you don't want to feel. I don't believe that. I used to believe that, but I don't believe that. Because somebody said, yeah, but you used to say that, an old member. I was like, yeah, I did, but I don't believe that anymore.
Mm.
I don't believe that, you know, people say nothing can make you feel. Here's what I love. People come on my social media feed, and I'm a voyeur in more ways than one. And your face is
staring more ways than one. Come on now.
Yeah, what are you talking about? But I'm a voyeur in more ways than one. But I see people post, nothing can make you feel anything. Nothing can make you feel anything. You make yourself feel things. Week later. Fucking hell, people give me abuse on my feed, gets on my nerves. You're like, oh, all of a sudden someone's made you feel something. Well, have you made yourself feel annoyed, or have they made you feel annoyed? Where are we going with this? It's nonsense. I used to tell myself nothing can make me feel how I don't want to feel. But that was mainly because I was afraid of what I felt. So I like to tell the story, like, nothing can make me feel anything. I'm doing this. But it's not true. Like, you know, you're feeling things right now, right? Going with the situation with your mum.
Right?
And you're not making yourself feel that. There's something in front of you that's difficult, that's making you feel a certain way. And you're having this reflexive response. After that initial response, you get to weigh that up, don't you? Like you did.
Well, that's a key
maybe
point.
I'm not going to go and like...
No, that's a key point.
Aggressively go crazy here. I feel like I'm going to, but you know what? I'm going to try and move a different direction. That's control. That's true, what I believe, true control. And that's, there's a choice there. But I bet 10 years ago, you had no choice. Do you know what I mean? There's no choice. You just like, it's just react. That's how I react.
Yeah. That's like a way to measure how far you've grown. But I think you've nailed it recently, because I know you teach this in your initial reaction, you've probably got no control over.
Yeah.
But whether you stoke that flame, that's a difference, right?
And knowing you have a choice is the key. Yeah. Knowing you have the space to choose is very difficult. And I say it all the time, but I think I like to think you learn this stuff, you read this stuff, and you think, yeah, that makes, you know, I'd like that to be make sense. Then you work with people, and you're like, ah, hang on a minute here, you know. And then you study things a bit more. You're like, no, there is an involuntary response to situations that happens. But that's how it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's survival, isn't it? That's your instinct.
Yeah. And
imagine
then
you didn't have that.
Any kind of threat on us brings out some kind of response.
Course. Yeah.
But the ability to then, you know, some emotional response, so to speak, and it's reflexive, no control, but the ability then to like, what am I going to do from here?
Uh-huh.
I think that's where the skill is.
Yeah.
And so I see a lot, again, one thing I'm always mindful of is I'm reading stuff online, I'm seeing all this content, I'm like, why do people beat themselves up for feeling certain things?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Why do people beat themselves up? Like, and I would have. But I think a lot of time it's that narrative rammed down your fucking throat every 3 minutes, which is like, well, nothing makes you feel it. So you're like, I must be making myself feel this way.
Mm.
And for a lot of people, they're like, that makes me feel empowered. But for a lot of people, it makes me feel like a failure.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel really sad today. It's because, why are you sad? Oh, you know, my dog put down. Well, that's sad, isn't it?
I know.
That's sad, isn't it? You should feel sad, probably.
I know.
We're just living in this world where positivity is rammed.
Well, I think it's multifactorial issue, isn't it? Because you've got people who don't understand what's happening. And then, so, you know, when you don't understand, you fill the void with nonsense, right?
Mm.
And you've got an industry like ours that's full of, you know, people chasing status and personality. I haven't got a clue. You know, they can't go, you know, as you say, they can go a mile wide, but can only go an inch deep. Where me and you can drill. And, you know, when you're giving out this type of, it's what I don't get about personal training, right? You've got someone who can be qualified in 6 weeks. I'm knocking that, because if that's, you know, you starting,
yeah,
you know,
start somewhere. Kill, but, yeah.
You know, that you're going to be trying to improve someone's physical well-being. There's a lot to put into that. This is why we see obese people getting smashed on treadmills, right? Because there's just lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're dealing with people's livelihoods, and we take it serious as a coach, you know.
Yeah.
Like, with people are on the verge. I've been around suicide a lot, and you think, man, you know, if I could have got a grip of him, or if he would have not known this, or... And some of these people that we're dealing with are on the verge.
Mm.
You know, you might be holding it back, but we know that they're not far away from...
Yeah,
you know, what's weird about suicide is that your body gets in such a stressed state that actually think that's appealing. You have to get into it. You're not going to think, oh, I just want to do it. There's something chemically going on that goes, nah, this is the option that we've got left, you know? Mm. So, you know, prevention is obviously better than cure, but unpacking that a little bit, in this industry and you've got all these fancy quotes, don't be positive or not. You got people talking absolute shit. I mean, it's in every industry, you know, the music industry, you've got guys in the grime scene, you'd sort of say.
And also the extremes are what thick. So it's like, if you say like, oh, everyone's positive, you say, well, that's maybe not useful. It's like, oh, well, we just got to go to the other end then, and everyone's, it's negative, like, well, no, it's a balance in there. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Find a bit of balance. Well,
and the point I'm trying to make here, I'm not trying to say people are wrong or right. I'm saying that we have a moral responsibility when we're in this game to consider this, you know, this outward view. I think a lot of coaching, it's about me, you should follow me. We're a complete opposite. This is why I think we got on so well, that it was never about us, although this journey was about us. You know, we fix it. Was like, nah, you know, from a place of experience, I get what that's like. I get what it's like to hate yourself. I get what it's like to look down a barrel of a gun and want to call it a day. I get that, you know, even looking yourself in the eye knocks you sick, you know.
But it's easy to get removed from that. I find that writing the book, I'm writing that for somebody who's in the shit.
Yeah.
But I'm not in the shit anymore.
Yeah.
And so to reflect back and be like, put yourself back in the shoes. Yeah. You know, you do forget, you get a little bit removed from that. Do you know what I mean? Like, and sometimes it's easy to become a little bit, unempathetic towards people, innit?
Yeah.
You know, and be like, well, God, come on, let's just crack on. And so it is difficult. And I think, I'm not getting into bashing the industry, but one of the things sometimes I feel is like, I think sometimes it's a little bit out of reach with the people it's really trying to impact, a little bit out of touch, shall I say.
Yeah, even all their intentions are probably right. A little bit forgot. Right.
Even their pretensions are right. Yeah. It's like, for me, it's like the common person going to pick up personal development. I think the common person, that's what I'm passionate about. It's like, let's get this out to the common person.
Yeah.
You know, the person who's walking the street who probably isn't like, you know, into all that stuff, but probably needs to, knows they need to do something.
And this is
like, I think something, it's a little bit out of touch. When you start interviewing celebrities just for the crack of it, I'm interviewing, it's like, oh man, bore off. I'm a bit like, I get they're a human being and we've got commonalities in how we feel, but your problems feel different to me when I was stacking shelves, for example.
Mm.
You know, like that felt different. You know, we've got different problems.
And well, probably like, felt the same.
Probably felt the same, but
but
that voice wouldn't have reached me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like when someone sat there going, and so I got in touch with my higher self. No offense to anyone who sounds like that, but I'm doing an impression of someone. I got in touch with my higher self and I felt that, you know, because after I didn't get that Oscar, you're like, oh my God. Like, you know, it just feels so far away from me being like, my life's shit, mind. Do you know what I mean? I forget Oscars. I'm struggling to function. I'm so destructive. I can't hold anything down in my life.
Well, that's what's changing. It's gone from like the celebrity status and chasing that to people just want real. Even you see the gurus, they're starting to reverse engineer, innit? All this high ticket shit. Now they're like, nah, just get them email this or whatever, because people see this the detachment there. And this is, you know, I don't care how far my success takes me. I'll never forget my roots. You know, I still walk in them streets. I still speak to them people. I still tackle in corners that I'm always going to be responsible in at least being around and giving feedback or assistance or guidance. I'm never going to forget that. And why should you? Because, you know, this is part of my identity and part of my DNA. And I think that's where the detachment comes, where people are showing up, they're really vanilla and they're acting strawberry. Are you going to figure out that's not the right place? You know what I mean?
Mate,
we see it
everywhere. What sort of saying is that? They're vanilla, they're acting strawberry.
Yeah.
That's the best analogy I've ever said.
But, you know, there's a reason why vanilla is the most, you know, it's always in.
No, don't explain the options, it. Don't explain it to me. That's quote number. I'm putting that on a quote. I'm going to get a picture of you in that hat and that mic. And I'm just going to put people wandering around like they're vanilla acting strawberry.
Yeah. Well, that's the world right now, right?
Yeah.
We're trying to be someone that's not, and it's the losing who they are.
And that, I think, is the ultimate. That's why we do all this stuff anyway, is to be who we are. Like, just to be who you are. Like, just to,
well, I take courage, there's got to be some strength, right?
Yeah, everyone's message now is you got to, like, destroy who you are, or you've got to be somebody else to create success. It's like, hey, you need to be you. I don't want to be me. I'm anxious. That's not you.
Yeah.
Like, that's not you. But you need to be you. Like, you're individual. You're unique. you got something to offer people, your family, your friend. You got something there.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be anyone else. That's the biggest battle I've had this year. Mark will be fucking fed up of me. Undoubtedly, he's looking through, looking now. He's like, I was fed up of him. But we were chatting just before this, and I was like, the one thing I realized I did this year was I realized my big message is be yourself.
Mm.
Now, people think that's unambitious. Like, why would some... Well, that's easy, but that is the hardest job in the world. Very often, the hardest thing you can possibly do is to be yourself, I think, truly. Because it comes with, like, wow, what if people don't like me? What if I'm not enough? If we're pretending to be somebody else and people don't like you, it don't matter.
Mm.
That ain't you.
That's that strawberry thing.
And right? Yeah, strawberries and vanillas and all the rest of it. But I'm sat there and I was sat on a balcony of a boat. Because, yeah, I'm posh now. And I was sat on the balcony of a boat. And I was sat there and I was just journaling away. And I was like, I'm not being me. Like, I'm just not being me. And I mean, what I mean by that is I wasn't lying. I wasn't doing anything. But I wasn't fully being me. I wasn't out there.
Mm.
Like, I was frustrated with myself for a good part of this year. I'm frustrated. I'm not in the places I want to be, doing the things I want to be with this kind of work, with speaking the things I want to speak about. And I realized that is the biggest kind of misalignment, if you want to use that word, but almost like, wow, I've got to put that right, because I'm telling people to go be themselves and then I'm not really fully being myself. Like, fuck me. Mm. Get yourself in line. It was like an epiphany moment for me. I was like, no, I ain't doing that. I mean, we said off camera, I'd come back and I was like, no, I'm cracking on. Mm. I know what I want. I know where I'm going. And I think for a lot of it, I was just afraid of getting out there.
Yeah, of course.
If someone said, what are you afraid of? I don't know.
Mm.
I don't know what I'm afraid of. Maybe I'm afraid it will impact my family. Maybe I'm afraid I won't be good enough. I don't know. But I just was. Unfounded, unconscious fears.
Yeah.
It's like, now I've got to get out there and just be me. Because like I said, I think that is the most important thing. Why do you want to get into this to be somebody else?
Mm. Yeah, like changing who you are.
Always you see that all the time in groups, don't you? Like, oh, I want to be like them. It's like set the same goals as them, talk like them, wear the same clothes as them. So don't fucking be like them.
Yeah.
Be like you. I don't like me. Well, get to like you. Get to know you.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And then you will want to be you. One thing I absolutely love, I'm on my high horse now. You come to an Unbreakable retreat. Where you do. The cross-section of people at those places is insane.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You got like the hippie over there. You know? Yeah. I love her. Steph Chin, what a woman. Love her to bits. Just so confident. Remember at the last retreat and she was just talking about how confident she felt just being herself and she didn't have to take herself off and be on her own. She's like there in all her uniqueness.
Tied-eyed
out of her head.
Yeah,
You know what I mean? Sat next to another chap who's like, growing his multi-million pound business, just chatting as two human beings.
I know.
And the thing I love is we've given people the environment and the space to be able to do that. Rather than sitting in a fucking room being like, hey, we're all the same here, aren't we? No room for an individual. It's boring.
Well,
if someone said to me, I want to be like you, I'd be like, don't be like me.
I know.
Don't be like me.
I know.
Be like you. That's what the whole point of
work. That's a forever changing thing though, right? Because I think environments are a key trigger. Like I said, we through the people that have come to Unbreakable, it creates a community, organically has made that environment, right? Obviously, the foundations of that is ourselves. So environments in the world are having this impact that you've got to be somebody else and chase these other people, right? And then obviously you don't know what you want. So if you don't know what you want, how can you be who you want to be?
Do you think we think happiness is on the end of, we look at people and go, well, I think they got it sorted out, haven't they? Look at them. I think I'll be happy when I get there.
Social media is always favorite bits.
I'll be successful.
Yeah.
Even in our own life. What if I just be more like them? They're quite successful. Maybe I'll do that. Have you ever been happy being somebody else?
Nah, but I've learned that way, you know.
Yeah, we all do it. We all copy and mimic, I think, until we realise this is unfulfilling.
Well, this is why you have traits of your parents in you and stuff like that. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but, learning the traits of the greats. We obviously love stuff.
But that's the key, right?
Yeah.
The traits.
Yeah, not being them.
The people we admire. So I would say, I admire Ben. So what, do you want to be like Ben?
No,
because only Ben can be like Ben. It's like, well, you want? I admire him, but I admire your passion or your enthusiasm or your the fact you know, the way you are in your family, those are qualities. And I think we look at people who are successful and we think it's the material things they have that maybe we admire. But I think if you look a bit deeper, you go, actually, I admire the fact that they've done something. Or maybe it's the freedom they have. I admire that. They got so much freedom in their lifestyle.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they're so purposeful. Or, you know, we admire who they're being, I think. But we skip that stage. We go to what they are doing and think, well, I'll just do that.
Mm.
And then I'll be happy. I think if you're in self-development, we should develop ourselves.
What? It's crazy after you have to spell that out, right? Because that's what it says in the tin.
Yeah.
You see this in personal... Obviously, looking back now, we've seen it with ourselves, but in personal training, people would come up, girls, and go, oh, what look like this girl? And she'd be shredded out of red six-pack. And I'd be like, yeah, that's cool. We can get you there, but let me show you the downsides of this.
Yeah.
Like, one, it ain't sustainable. Two, you know, there's going to be issues with your health. Three, you know, social circle's going to be impact. Four, let me ask you what you're doing it for. Like, you got a competition coming up? No, I just want to... Nah, the chance of you walking around like that 20, you know, all day, every day, it's not real.
Mm.
And why do you? Well, let me ask you why. Why do you want? I want to be happy. Why? There's the issue.
Yeah.
You know, there's the thing that we need to address and strengthen.
Do you think, I don't know, think about yourself. Obviously, I mean, in coaching, we work together, you know, to work on your coaching, you know. And I know you went through a period of undoubtedly thinking you had to talk like a coach and be like a coach. You know, didn't you?
Yeah,
like I did. I need to talk like that. That's how I do it. But then you find your own way now. Well, you find your own pattern.
And there's the other side of sometimes it's necessary to have to do that because it's a way of breaking through. In fact, well, put it this way. Going from the lifestyle that I had to reconstructing my whole identity, my whole worldview, my whole belief, that uncharted territory is like walking, like, you know, going from crawling to walking.
Mm.
And you have to adopt certain things to go, oh, is this how you operate in this space like this way? And I think being a coach, you think you have to rock up as this professional outfit and get in, you know, role. So, you know, you have to go into that and climb. It's like lifting a heavy weight with wrong technique until you drop the weight with the right technique, you know, and then you can lift it. It's the same way. And you have to go through them phases. They're not necessarily bad, but when you're chasing life like that, trying to reconstruct who you are all the time, you know, that's the pattern. And that's the way you're going to do everything. And you jump from, oh, it's going to be like this guy. That doesn't work out. I'm going to be like this guy. That's what you ought to be afraid of. Mm. But if you were then like a rising tide being around you and then climatizing to a way of going, ah, actually, shit doesn't work. Well, I had to earn that medal by going through that process. And then you start to be able to put your own DNA into it and make it your own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm sure these podcasts will change as we get a bit more like that.
I think it's this constant ability, it's self-expansion. Everyone is looking to express who they are as an individual. I always think that. I look back, I love music. I love lots of different things. Playing music or trying to play music, you know, listen to music. I love walking. I love writing, but what I'm trying to do is express who I am as an individual. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's the most important thing in all the work we do is like, hey, how can we make you more you?
Yeah.
Chip away the layers, all the things that have caused you to forget who you are.
Mm.
What caused you to forget who you are?
Mm.
Things happen, shit happens, we get hurt, we lose our way, we fail. It's all okay. We build up layers. It's just chipping away at that a little bit and going, who am I? Let's let me out. That's my biggest thing that's kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Not slighted me, but this year, so I couldn't see it. I couldn't see that playing out in my own life. I couldn't see me holding back. And then when you see it, you're like, oh, fucking hell, here we are. Look, I'm holding back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not expressing myself fully. And I know there's tons of people walking this planet right now who aren't probably happy in who they are and thinking they have to be somebody different. And really, it's not. It's like actually about becoming more you. It's a difficult thing to put into words sometimes. It's like, no, we just need to make you more you. And like who you are.
Yeah.
And accept who you are. And that doesn't mean it's the end. No. Oh, there's no ambition there.
No.
How are you going to be motivated if you're not trying to fucking destroy yourself every 5 minutes? It's like that's not the end of ambition. That's the start of it. It's the catalyst.
Yeah.
To more in a fluid way. Oh, you got to wake up every day and punish yourself. Find problems to fix.
Yeah.
I ain't got any problems right now, to be honest. I don't want to find any. You know, that's archaic to me. Do you know what I mean?
And also the impact of when you are true to who you are, you know, it feels like a sweet spot. You know, that recent event we didn't finish a minute ago talking about mum's situation. When I actually dealt with that, right, you know, pop all the valid points, and then was like, hey, from moving forward, we're not even saying that. We're going to stand in your way of being around my mum. But there's now just some rules in, you know, you're going to have to be supervised because you've lost that right. Mm. But we're not going to stand in the way of this. But for my mum being the main goal, which this is making sure her well-being is at the highest standard, then these are the things we're going to bring in play. And not only did they not feel guilty and shameful for addressing it that way, because it was valid, it was truth. It was like, yeah, this is where the issues are. This is how we can fix it. Hey, even though all this has gone on, we still truly appreciate what you've done. But this is the way moving forward. Now, you know, I know that felt right. I know that was more me. Knowing I could have just turned me hand and made this, you know, and that would have people been able to grow for. I actually said, alcoholism has plagued my family through and through and through. And I said, I hope there's something in this guilt and shame that can help you be better people through this, because you have to live with that. That's out of my control.
For you as well. Yeah. Coming back to, like, you know, if you'd have acted in the first way, that wouldn't have felt like you.
Nah.
That would have been, you know, out of alignment, as the cool people say, but, you know, you've acted, and that feels right?
Yeah, 100%. But that's how you get this moral sense of knowing that feels right.
What's moral of the tale to wrap this up? Because we're not allowed to go over 40 minutes. That's my rule. What's moral of the tale?
I think we'd just say, like, you know, it's a never-ending journey of
discovering who you are,
expanding and evolving who you are. Yeah. And it doesn't mean that when you find a sweet spot that you wasn't being you, because even though when you found that sweet spot, you still had a massive impact in what you've done in your life, personally and professionally. But as we start going through these phases, we can refine it a little bit more. And the more you know who you are, then the more you're going to, you know, the more you're going to be. And the more you're going to be, you know,
I think we're always learning who we are. There ain't no end to it.
And why should it end?
Well, we'd be boring if it didn't, wouldn't it? Do you know what I mean?
And on that note,
let's let this one end.